Coming up this hour, there are only two religions, worship of the creation and worship of the creator. Dr. Peter Jones calls it One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. That's his book. And we'll talk about this modern-day struggle between Christianity and paganism this hour on The Janet Mefford Show.
The Janet Mefford Show.
I can't believe the times we're living in.
Truth is the new hate speech.
When the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it.
I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
This is what it's all about.
Give Janet a call at 800-343-9282. And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you for being with us today on the Janet Mefford Show. It's great to have you. And have you ever wondered why the world seems to be so much more evil now than it was even several decades ago? Well, think about all the battles that we're facing as Christians today that we never could have imagined facing if you'd asked us even just a few years ago. This widespread acceptance of homosexuality and transgenderism, the idea of so-called gay marriage, hate speech laws that we all are afraid are aimed at Christians, more Americans saying they believe in nothing, even as they claim to believe really in the divine within. Well, today we're going to have a critical discussion about why we're seeing what we're seeing in the world today and how it all ties together. It's actually fairly simple. And Dr. Peter Jones puts it together in a way that I think is just brilliant. You know I'm a huge fan of his and his books. And we're going to talk about his book this hour called One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. And Dr. Jones takes a look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, which increasingly is becoming a very important passage for all of us who are putting two and two together. And Dr. Jones has put two and two together. You could call it the battle between the truth and the lie, or as he calls it, the battle between one-ism, the idea that God and nature are one, and two-ism, the idea that the creator is separate from his creation. Again, the name of the book is One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. Dr. Jones is adjunct professor of New Testament and scholar in residence at Westminster Theological Seminary, California, and has written so many great books on this similar topic. He's written Pagans in the Pews, Spirit Wars, Gospel Truth, Pagan Lies, and he is also director of Truth Exchange. And it's just wonderful to be able to have him back. Dr. Jones, great to have you here.
Gee, I don't need to be interviewed by you, Janet. You understand my stuff so well.
You know what? I'm beginning to be teased a little bit. I have to confess to you. I literally told my husband at Christmas time, I said, all I want for Christmas is for you to finish my Peter Jones library. And he did it. God bless him. I love him for doing it. Because I wanted to read every book you've ever written. I have been so instructed, and not just instructed, but it has blown me away. Mm-hmm. The degree to which you understand what is going on in the culture. And for those who haven't read your books, they need to. But this one is your latest, One or Two. And I think this is a really great book for explaining to people, hey, all this stuff you're worried about, it really is tied together in a pretty simple way.
That's right.
Lay that out a little bit and explain what you mean by one-ism and two-ism.
Well, to start with, I'm a very simple fellow, and I can only count from one to two.
I doubt that.
Actually, I began off talking about Christianity and paganism, and that's right. And then I started talking about monism and theism. And then eventually I came up with these two terms that are disgustingly simplistic in a way. And yet whenever I've used them, people say, of course.
Right.
Because they really do reduce everything down to something really quite simple. And I think that was the intention of the Apostle Paul when he wrote in Romans 1, and we've had a great amount of difficulty in taking him at what he actually says, but he actually says that there are only two religions. And we've been raised to think that there are 365 different religions, and they're all saying various things, and that we need to bring them all together, and then we'll know all the truth. As a matter of fact, Paul says there are two, and they are radically opposed. He says one is the worship of creation, and the other is the worship of the Creator. And I don't know. I can't find anything else, Janet, to add another category.
Right. Right.
You either do one or the other.
That's right. And it's interesting how all of these modern movements that we see, feminism, and we see the homosexual movement and the transgendered movement and this Eastern religion, you know, yoga right. and pan. Right. I mean, it all ties together. They all have the same basic wrong premise. They have a wrong view of God and they have a wrong view of his creation.
That's right. And it's so interesting, you see, that a man, brilliant man, 2,000 years ago, put all this together.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And aren't we favored as Christians to have such lucid writing from the Apostle Paul? Because, as I show in that book, he starts off with describing what people think about God. And so he's not talking about homosexuality in a vacuum. He talks about, first of all, what people do about God, and they refuse God as the creator. And obviously then they begin to worship the creation as God, and then he says they worship the things within creation, talking about spirituality, and then he adds, and for this reason, and he then proceeds to describe homosexuality.
Yes.
And he puts it in such an amazing, logical, rational context of a worldview that it's crystal clear once you see it, and now we can see it clearly because, of course, we're seeing it in our own world.
That's right. Dr. Jones, we're going to be right back. Dr. Peter Jones is my guest. We're talking about his book, One or Two, Paganism in Our Modern Culture. We'll be back right after this. Show 17 past the hour, and thank you for joining us. Our number 800-343-9282. We're living in a Romans 1 world. It's incredible to look back at Scripture and see how clearly the Apostle Paul understood things that we're experiencing in our day. We're talking it over today with Dr. Peter Jones. He's written a great new book, One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. And when you really understand the difference, as Dr. Jones puts it, between the truth and the lie, and that's actually how Paul put it as well, a lot more things in our culture will make sense to you. You were talking before we went to the break, Dr. Jones, about Romans 1 and how well Paul understood what was going on. I was interested that you wrote in your book, first of all, calling Paul the apostle to the pagans, which is an excellent point there. But the fact that Nero, who was the persecutor of Christians, was involved in gay marriage. I didn't know about that. That's an interesting tidbit. So he lived.
Welcome to the ancient world.
I'm telling you, it's so instructive when you read these things and you make the parallels. But so the culture he was living in at the time, Paul would have understood a lot more about our culture than we think.
Exactly. And he is seeking to apply the Christian faith to that Roman culture, which, as you quite rightly say, is really what our culture is fast becoming. And that's why, as Christians, we need to understand the way Paul helped Christians in his time to face that world and really to overcome it with the truth of the gospel. But part of that was not simply talking about Jesus died on the cross for me, which is very important, absolutely important, but in understanding what made that world tick in terms of its own presuppositions, in terms of its own worldview. And I just believe that in Romans 1, from verse 18 onwards, Paul does this wonderful explanation of the what I call the oneist or pagan worldview in three simple stages. And I mentioned them earlier, what they believe about God, what they believe about spirituality, and what they believe about sexuality. You know, recently, the President Obama referred to Romans 1:26 about homosexuality as that obscure text.
Oh, wow.
And there's nothing obscure about it.
No, not at all.
If you see it in the context of a very serious, clear theological development of thought, beginning in verse 18 and going on through, and I think that's what we Christians need to learn if we are going to stand up and face the world that we are becoming. and I don't see how we can stand otherwise.
I completely agree. So when the pagan, for instance, rejects God, rejects the fact that there's a creator outside of creation to whom the creation is accountable, then certain things begin to happen. And it comes out in a myriad ways, as we've seen different religions and different practices. What is the connection to sexuality? Because a lot of people don't understand the connection between paganism and sexuality,
right,
especially aberrant sexuality.
Well, you know, not every homosexual sees it either, and I don't think you should imagine that everyone practicing homosexuality realizes the religious and spiritual implications of what they're doing. That comes to us very clearly from the explanation that Paul gives, but I think if we don't understand that, that we will not be able to make sense of this growing agenda in our time, which I think will... Well, it's in the process of overcoming the church, as a matter of fact, and including the evangelical church.
Yes.
Where more and more leaders are really stating that this is not an important issue and we can live with this and eventually we can make sense of it and consider it really not that unusual. What is the relationship? Well, I gave a lecture last week on what our culture has become. And a number of factors have been influencing the West, which, you know, was formed and structured by Christianity, by twoism. Not everyone was a Christian, but that's the way people thought, you know, as they put the world together. God is in heaven and all's right with the world is one optimistic statement of an English poet 100 years ago. That idea of God in heaven has slowly been undermined, and now we find that God is not in heaven, he's in us. And so if you want to know God, you go within.
Right.
Well, this is a whole invasion of Eastern spirituality.
Yes, that, as you mentioned, that started very severely in the 60s.
That's right.
Your friend John Lennon and all of the Beatle philosophy and the gurus and all that.
Well, you see, what that means is that if God is inside us, rather than, as Jesus said, our Father who is in heaven, if God is inside of us, then we are really little pieces of God. And the whole idea of there being a distinction between us and God is eliminated. God is our very higher nature, if you will. So there is no distinction between us and God. And thus, and this is where you extend it out into worldview, if there's no distinction between us and God, then there are no significant ultimate distinctions with anything. Hmm. All right?
Yes.
Following me?
Nobody can say right or wrong.
That's right. Think of a circle, and everything is in the circle, rocks, trees, human beings, and God. In that circle, you find all the things that we think are distinguished, but actually we're in an illusion. We live under the influence of Maya, illusion, say the Hindus. Now, the goal is to eliminate all these distinctions because they stop us from really experiencing the world as one. So the agenda for this spirituality becomes the elimination of all distinctions.
So we're a problem then. Christians are a problem.
Oh, we are number one problem. Because the first distinction that has to go is the creator-creature distinction.
Mm.
But I was reading in a book that I found so fascinating called American Veda, V-E-D-A. That's the word used for Indian spirituality, both Hindu and Buddhist.
Right.
And this, obviously, a secular Jew who had become a Hindu, Philip Goldberg, American Veda, comes to a point in the book where he describes this new way of thinking about spirituality. And he's taken time to say how wonderful this stuff is because it's non-dogmatic, right?
Yes, right.
And you know how that resonates with the present population. We don't want dogma. We don't want to have these things imposed on us. And so we're very happy to hear about a non-dogmatic kind of spirituality. But at a certain point in the book, this man, Philip Goldberg, states that there is a non-negotiable, and that is the Hindu word Advaita, A-D-V-A-I-T-A. And you know what that means? Non-dual.
Ah, that's us then.
Non-dual.
Yes, Christians who say that there's a difference between...
Christians who say there are distinctions are radically opposed to that.
Right.
But he's saying this is the future of the world.
Oh, goodness.
This is the future of the West. And believe it or not, this stuff is being taught in evangelical institutions and churches. Non-dual spirituality.
Wow.
Well, I will get to that.
Yes. Oh, it's incredible.
But I want to get to your question, which I have not forgotten. But the answer is a long one. Anything that celebrates non-duality in the sense of distinction is part of this worldview. So homosexuality, you see, is a sexuality of sameness. Homo means same. And so this world of non-duality, you could also describe as engaging in what I like to call sometimes a homo cosmology, a world of sameness. And thus, sexuality that makes no distinctions is perfectly at home in this onest world. And heterosexuality, which means the sexuality of otherness or difference, hetero means other, belongs in the world of twoism. And, you know, people have one foot in one of those worlds, another foot in the other world, or they're denying the twoist world and they're standing firmly in the onest world. But I know no better way of jumping into the onest world than approving or practicing homosexuality.
It's incredible. And you go into that in great detail. I know other places as well where you say the homosexuality. And then once you commit really the apostasy of rejecting the creator, then that becomes, I think you phrased it as, it becomes deep-seated. And it expresses itself in these aberrant sexualities, and there's like no limit then
That's right.
What they will do, pansexuality get rid of marriage. And and the roots also that's sort of interesting to me, if people want to delve into in-depth studies on paganism that you've done before, is when you've talked about Sophia and how the whole paganist philosophy puts Christianity and the Genesis 1 and the Garden of Eden and all of the description in Genesis of Adam and Eve sets it all on its head.
That's right.
That they say God was wrong, the patriarchal view of God. No, we need to have a feminine view of God.
Right.
And everything that's black is white and everything that was night is day. And they get everything backwards.
You see, nothing's new. And that's what the old Gnostics said in the first centuries of the church. They read Genesis, like you said, upside down. And that's another form, you see, of this non-dual getting rid of creation. Because once you affirm creation, you're affirming non-duality. You're affirming twoism. And if you want to reject that, you're a oneist. And that's what Gnosticism is. That's what Hinduism is in all its forms. That's what mythology is. That's what all this spirituality we're hearing about today with meditation and mysticism and all the techniques that are being used to get into altered states of consciousness. You know, you've heard of altered states of consciousness and mystical trance. You know what that produces?
Right.
It produces a non-rational state where all the distinctions no longer are apparent.
Gosh. Well, it makes a lot of sense. And when we talk about oneism or twoism, it's a very deep subject, but it's put in a quite an intelligent way, I think, Dr. Jones, where people can get a hold of it. As Paul talks about in Romans 1, it's the difference between the truth and the lie. And I want to get to that a little bit more after this commercial break and talk more about Romans 1 and how Paul made that distinction between the truth and the lie, or oneism and twoism. As Dr. Peter Jones says, 800-343-9282. We'll get back to this very important topic right after this break.
You're tuned to Christian Radio's fresh and insightful voice. This is the Janet Mefford Show. Janet wants to hear what's on your mind, and she's waiting for your call, toll-free, at 800-343-9282. That's 800-343-9282, or online at janetmefford.com. Once again, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you for joining us, and we are talking about such an important topic. If you don't understand what is going on in our world today, Dr. Peter Jones's book, One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference, will explain it to you. It is one-ism versus two-ism, a very simple truth that Paul outlined in Romans chapter 1, and basically it's this. There's Christianity that believes there is God and his creation, and they are separate from one another. And there is two-ism, which is the idea that God and nature are one, and they are all together. And we're seeing these modern movements from paganism and feminism and homosexuality and the Eastern religions. All of these things have much in common. The globalist movement and even the environmental movement, very much so, can all be put under that category. And we're talking to Dr. Peter Jones about this. Romans chapter 1 is such a great chapter, and I find myself referring to it a lot when we're talking about some of these subjects, Dr. Jones. But you explain that passage in that chapter where Paul makes a very clear point that there is the truth, and as you say, the lie, not just a lie, but the lie is how it should be read.
You've read my book very carefully.
I have indeed. I love the book. Why is that such an important point to make when we're talking about this?
Well, it just seems to me that Paul wants to make clear that there are only two approaches, and you can hide behind the 360 different approaches kind of thing and begin to introduce into our world all kinds of confusion. You know, it's often said by the interfaith folks that, look, we represent all these different religions, and you Christians, you're just one of the religions. And so you're obviously wrong because you don't tolerate all the other different religions that we do, and you're closed-minded and bigoted. And we don't want anything to do with you. And in fact, you don't believe in a civil, tolerant society. The fact of the matter is that all these different religions are almost like denominations and different views of Christianity throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really two systems, you know. It's not, I don't know, 100 different religions on the one hand and then one religion, Christianity, on the other. We have many different churches and denominations and so within the Christian system, just the way the pagans do. But it's still only two systems. You see what I'm saying?
I sure do. You're right.
And when you can show young people that that's the case, they suddenly say, oh, so I'm not intolerant. So I'm not bigoted. There are only two ways to think about this, and they're both as old as the hills. And all this appeal to change and future bliss and all that kind of thing is a load of mere strategic, you know, imagination of incorrect information that is only being used to push one side of the equation. So I think we really need to get out to young people the vision that Paul is proposing to us. And, you know, issues like, you know, the uniqueness of Jesus, issues of the issue of homosexuality, all of a sudden become very clear when you see them in the context of two different worldviews. And it's not, you know, the old fogies going backwards on the one hand and these new thinkers on the other. As you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Nero is marrying two men, one is his wife and one is his husband. That's you know, the New York Times calls this new view of sexuality new view of the world. And our president also says he doesn't want to be involved in this backward-looking kind of thinking. If he knew how far we should go back, he'd find out that the way that's being proposed as the future was actually the past.
Well, that's so true. And Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You quote David Green, I think it was in your book, and said he predicted the death of God would bring the rebirth of the gods. Death of God would bring the rebirth of the gods and goddesses of ancient Rome. I mean, this is where we are.
Exactly. We are, I like to say, we're living in a post-Constantinian age. The Christian church with Paul was living in a pre-Constantinian age. And then there was a time when Constantine converted Christianity and the government began to defend Christianity. Some of that was good, some of it wasn't.
Yes.
But we're moving to a period where the government and the state really no longer takes us seriously and will more and more, I think, put us in difficulty.
Well, I agree with you completely. And as you mentioned before, Dr. Jones, this has had a very big impact on the church. We're going to get to that when we come back with Dr. Peter Jones talking about his book, One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. We'll be back right after this. Sure, I mentioned this. If you want to know more about the ministry that Dr. Peter Jones has and more about this issue on paganism, check out the website for Truth Exchange. It's truth, the letter X, change.com, and you can find resources there and find all the references there to Dr. Jones's books, because I really highly recommend that you read them. I cannot do your books justice in a radio show, Dr. Jones. That's my one frustration. One of the things that I think is very important to talk about, and you do, is the effect that oneism is having on the church. We are seeing it, and I think you mentioned in two different ways, this kind of interest now in mysticism and this interest in social justice.
Exactly.
That we need to move away from the gospel because the gospel is divisive and mm-hmm. and kind of offends people, which is the point. That's what I always learned, is the gospel is an offense. What do we do about what's going on in the church, and why is this happening? Why don't we have a better firewall up against this?
Well, listen, I'm going to answer this because, like you, I feel frustrated with a short time like this. I just organized a think tank, to which you should come next year, by the way, Janet, last week. And we had 11 wonderful, intelligent lecturers give lectures on this subject. The title was Oneism, a Poison Pill for the Church.
Sounds great.
And we videotaped every one of the lectures, and they're going to be put up on our website at some point in the not-too-distant future.
Great.
So I would encourage those folks who listen faithfully to you and you yourself to check that website. They're not up yet, so don't be disappointed.
Okay.
And also where you find my books. Actually, this book you're talking about, you can get it through our website or on Amazon, actually.
Perfect.
So okay. Enough of the that kind of stuff. But I think
okay.
It's important to give folks a fuller understanding of what is happening, and I'm glad to say I'm not the only one doing it now. I've encouraged a number of young creative minds to do it, and it's so exciting, Janet, to see that there is some serious opposition kickback going on right now. To answer your question, and you noted it very well, I don't know why I'm being interviewed here. You should just lecture.
No. I'm not even close. The only reason I can even say this stuff is because you taught it to me, honestly.
Anyway, the explanation of all this it goes further back. I signed up for an online website a few weeks ago called Beyond Awakening, The Future of Spiritual Practice. And you could almost call it Beyond New Age.
Wow.
Beyond Awakening. What happened to the New Age? Do you ever hear people talking about it now?
Yeah, not really. It morphed.
Not really.
Yeah.
It was dropped by the New Agers because they believed it was far too focused on the individual. And we have a new form of the spirituality now, Beyond Awakening, The Future of Spiritual Practice. And this online forum consisted of hour-long interviews with some of the old lions of the New Age, like Jean Houston, Hillary Clinton's channeler.
Yes.
Surya Das, Ram Das, Michael Murphy, Ken Wilber, all of them. And, within a couple of weeks, there were 35,000 people enrolled on this online forum.
Mm.
Wow. It was amazing. Anyway, they call themselves, they don't call themselves New Agers, they call themselves, and I'm telling your listeners this so that you can pick them out, because they're good at changing their skin. They call themselves cultural creatives, progressives, brights, or integral spiritualists. How do you like those titles?
Very creative. And I'm sure by the time I learn them, they'll change the names again.
Exactly.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Anyway, they are so optimistic about taking their original awakening and apply it to the world that they believe by the year 2020, they will take over the U.S. culture.
Goodness.
They consider themselves right now to number 50 million. And they see 100 million in Europe, and they plan to take over the organs of culture, those handles that determine where the machine actually goes, by the year 2020. I'm not making this up. I couldn't. But what is interesting in what you said, it's a hybrid of Eastern spirituality, this awakening, and what they call sincere care of the planet.
Yes.
That's very interesting, you see, because they're joining what you said, mysticism and social gospel, really. And what is really amazing, and I find it amazing, that the church in large numbers is being seduced by this. This massive Indian elephant in the room is seducing Christians. And you have many Christians today, and what are they emphasizing? Social gospel and mysticism.
That's right. That's
this is exactly the program of this new progressive integral spirituality. And I just, well, you ask why? Why? Because the church is always, in some of its expressions, seeking from the pagan world outside some kind of ideas that will make the gospel fit with that. And that's what liberalism always has been.
I wrote
that the original Gnostics were the original liberals.
Yeah, right. That's right, though.
It is. And you watch throughout the history of the church, you have liberals who can't believe the gospel but can't leave the church, and so they redefine the Christian message in terms that fit the pagan culture of that particular era. And now we're living in this Hinduization, is that a word?
I think so.
Of the West, which obviously places mysticism as the highest form of spirituality, and then coming out almost like a hybrid, really, because when you look at India, it's a social mess. It's almost like a new hybrid, espousing also the notion of the sincere care of the planet, which is really a power grab, because there's no concern for lost sinners, and there's no concern for holy living as God would have us live in the world. So that kind of social involvement leads people nowhere in the end.
Well, you're absolutely right, and it's a huge problem in the church, and we're seeing it more and more. We have to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is the solution for this culture, to hear the truth about who God is in Jesus Christ. We'll be back with Dr. Peter Jones right after this break. Stay with us. It's the Janet Mefford Show, 5 minutes before the hour. The name of the book, One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference, by Dr. Peter Jones, who is adjunct professor of New Testament and scholar in residence at Westminster Theological Seminary, California. Director of Truth Exchange also. And again, you got to check out the website. It's truth, the letter X, change.com. And you can find out more, a lot more about this very important subject. Dr. Jones, just a few minutes left, and I know we barely even scratched the surface. It's very frustrating. But the way forward, and that's always the question people say when you're talking about this subject at the end. We want some happy news. We want some good news. What do you think that the church really needs to do in this day and age, when we are seeing this avalanche of paganism that's seemingly unstoppable? What do we most need to do right now to get serious about spreading the gospel to this culture?
Well, you know, the problem with the lie is that it always invites the truth. It cannot exist on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that for Christians, we need to take the time to look at the way the world is being driven. I don't think we can evangelize anymore by the old methods, quite frankly, because they all presupposed a two-a system, you see. And we need to speak to the folks that we know by deconstructing their oneness worldview. That's what Paul does in Romans, you see. Before he starts talking about the gospel, which is the real theme of Romans, he deconstructs the pagan oneist worldview. And I think Christians should not be intimidated by what's going on around them. I would encourage all Christians to become experts in oneism.
Good.
And the reason for that is twofold. One, that way we can actually do evangelism to our non-Christian friends by showing them the world that they have adopted and placing them before these two worldviews of oneist or twoist truth, oneist lie, twoist truth, and allow them to choose where they want to stand. But all we're doing really is affording them clarity as to where they stand before the Lord. Now, the second reason why is that this oneism provides a wonderful sort of clear distinction with what should be done in the church and what shouldn't. In other words, once you know what is fundamental to oneism and what is fundamental to twoism, it helps you to look at some of the things that are being proposed as Christian activity and say, now, wait a minute, does that fit? Is the worship we're doing in our churches oneist or twoist? Is the spirituality we're practicing really promoting oneism, or is it really taking God, who is different than us, seriously and engaging in serious prayer? So these are the things that I think we can draw from that. And remember, Jeremiah 29:4 following tells us we're in exile and we need to pray for the welfare of the world in which we live.
Oh, there's no doubt we need to go. But Dr. Peter Jones, my guest, and the name of the book, One or Two, everything he's written is great. TruthExchange.com is the website. Dr. Jones, an honor to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Well, I'd like to work with you sometime. I was so inspired by this interview.
Well, I would love it, too. Thank you so much. We'll be talking a little bit later. It's the Janet Mefford Show. Thanks for listening.